Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide from them. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Don't hide it from your kids. Tell them everything he's done. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's what he's done. These aren't stories. These aren't fantasy. No, no, no. It's history. It's what he's done and what he is doing and what he's going to do. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Teach them to your children. Teach your children to teach their children and pass it on down from generation to generation. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Lord, don't let us be stubborn and rebellious. Lord, break us any way you need to. A generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. Let's pray. Father God, hallowed be your name. You are holy. We come into this moment, and I just pray for a holy fear to drop on all of us, that we'd remember who you are. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, the way he told us to, the way he taught us. Father, I ask right now that any stubbornness, any rebellion in the room, that you would just break it off us, that we would humble ourselves and return today. That's all repentance is. It's just returning. It's running back to you. Jesus, we come back by your blood. We know we're invited into the Father's house because of what you did. And so we just come back today. We repent. We return to you. Break off all stubbornness and rebellion from us, Lord. May we walk humbly with you all the days of our lives. May we return today and incline our ear to your law, to your word, to your precepts. May we walk in the light and not the dark anymore. May we step into fellowship with you today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would speak and move. I pray that you would give me the words and take anything away that you don't want spoken. That I would just declare every word that you want spoken in this room today to your people. And I just pray right now in faith that you have a word for each and every one of us in here. That you're going to speak and move and shine a light in the darkness and reveal what's been hidden and bring it out so it can be healed. Jesus, I just pray for healing. I pray for miracles today in this room. I pray for faith, that doubt would leave and faith would rise. That even though we don't feel it, we would just begin to speak it and declare it. And out of our mouth, it would begin to change us and transform us as it rewires us from the inside out. May there be streams of rivers that flow with abundance today. May it come from your spirit and no other spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. People at Revival got strong legs. We make you stand and worship a lot, but man, he's worthy. Like, we're not here for a movie. We're not here for, like, those nice recliner seats. I've heard people say, like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have those recliner seats in church that they get at movie theaters? We don't need those. We don't need those. Now, someday, you know, we might get a little nicer chairs than the folding chairs, all right? Like, just a step up, but we don't use them much anyway. There's a verse there that hit me, Psalm 78. It hit me this week. 78 verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were armed, they had everything they needed for warfare, but when the day of battle came, they turned back. We're in this series called Red Flags. 2 Samuel 11. Verse 1. I love that Jake brought up David today, because we're going to talk about David. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And once again, if you want my notes, you can text Rev Notes, all one word, R-E-V Notes, to 94,000, and you can get exactly what I got right here, and you won't have it all because there's some stuff up here that I might jump around to if he tells me to. So here's the deal. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. He didn't go to battle. He didn't go to war. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked. Most of us in here, if you've been in the church for long, you've heard this story. You know this story. It happened. David arose from his bed. He walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" God will always give you a chance to get out of what you're trying to get yourself into. This guy is trying to be a friend here. He's like, "Oh, isn't this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And He's trying to lay that on there. He's trying to help David. And David just says, "Yeah, I don't care." David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." It's a red flag if you've stopped going to war. The day you stop going to war, the day you stop going to battle, let me tell you something, it's a red flag. The day your friends stop talking about it, stop caring about it, you got to understand and realize that's a red flag. That's a warning sign. When you're driving your car and that check engine light comes on and you just say, "Oh, it's fine." I had this happen recently. My wife brought the car home. She's like, "You know, there's a check engine light on." And I thought it was something else. I was like, "Oh, yeah, I think that's, you know, it's something. We had it looked at. It's just an old car. It's fine." But she's like, "I don't know. This one's different." So I went out and looked at it. I was like, "All right, like, I better go get the oil changed." I go in and I take it to get the oil changed, and they're like, "You barely made it. Like, it is bone dry in here. If you had driven just a little bit further, this thing, I mean, it would have been toast." If we ignore the check engine lights, the red flags, the warning signs, we're missing out on what God is trying to speak. He's trying to save us and protect us from ourselves. Listen to those red flags. Listen to those check engine lights. So, once again, the church, that's what this is for. That's why we gather. That's why we meet. That's why we have small groups and classes and things where we can build community so iron can sharpen iron. Because you need to be surrounded by brothers and sisters who are walking into battle with you and understand what we're walking in together. That we're not just playing church. That this isn't just a social club. No, no, it's warfare. Once you stop going to war, that is a red flag. Once your friends stop going to war, stop talking about going to war, it's a red flag. Sometimes we become Christians, we become believers, and we're like, that's great. I can just kind of put it into cruise control, and I'm good till the day I die. And you don't understand, you just stepped into the battle. You just stepped into warfare. He wants to arm you like Ephraim. But most of us, we've been armed, and we just put our bows down, we put our armor down, and we walk away from it. And we say, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need to fight. And that's how the enemy gets us. That's how he gets so many. Because the battle's not against flesh and blood. Go down to Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. He's got schemes. He's got plans. If you're a coach of an NFL or a college team, you don't come into a game unprepared, right? You come in with a plan, unless you're Deion Sanders. Sorry. Coach Prime, I love you, man, but that was a rough one. I had to do it. I had to. You got to come in with a plan, though. Like, you cannot come in unprepared. You got to have a game plan. But too many of us as believers, we just think, oh, no, I'm good. I got baptized once. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm good. I can just kind of walk and just coast and put it into cruise control. No, you need a game plan because he's got a game plan to come against you. That's why we keep going to Scripture. Because when you go back to Scripture, that's like when a good coach goes into the film room and we study the film. And what are we doing right now? We're studying the film of those in the Old Testament, those in the New Testament, those who have come before us. We get to study their film and we get to see how the enemy has attacked. We can go and read Job and see what the enemy did to Job. We can go and read about David and we can see how the enemy came after David. We are learning and we're growing every time we step into God's film room. That's what you can do. You're invited in. This isn't just like a nice, like quaint little like, oh man, I'll set this on my bookshelf and it'll just sit there and collect dust for two decades. No. This is the playbook. Open it up. Go to the film room. Look at it. Study it. Ask for revelation. When you take this and you go and sit with the Holy Spirit and you just ask him, Lord, please, just give me fresh revelation. Guess what? It says he's a teacher. He wants to teach you. He wants to coach you. He wants to bring you along. He doesn't want you to stay an infant. When you first got baptized, when you first gave your life to Jesus, he doesn't want you to stay a baby. He wants to grow you up and mature you in the faith. He wants to build you into a warrior. Someone that when the devil comes knocking, when the devil comes to try to tear you down, to chop you down, to take you out, that you see the scheme coming. You see what he's doing before it even gets near. And you're able to avoid, you're able to walk away, you're able to run or flee like Joseph. What happened to Joseph? When the devil came to try and cut him down with Potiphar's wife, what did Joseph do? He fleed every time. There wasn't even a doubt. There wasn't even hesitation. He was constantly walking in a state of warfare. He was looking for how the enemy was trying to cut him down because he saw it all the way when he was a young man, when he was a boy, when his brothers tried to cut down what God wanted to build up and raise up inside of him. And he knew this is warfare. The devil's trying to cut down what God is trying to build up. Don't let the devil cut you down because of ignorance. Do not be ignorant of his schemes. We come in prepared. We come in and we are studied. We've been in the film room. We know his word so we can walk in wisdom. That's what we do. If you don't know where to start, open up Proverbs. All I've been doing this past week, I've had just craziness, chaos going on, like just... It seems like so many things, like so many of us. And at the end of the day, when I'm just feeling like, man, I don't know. Like, God, I just feel like I'm just like torn in a million different ways. I haven't been closing out my day just scrolling on my phone. I've been pulling out my Kindle in bed and just going through Proverbs and just reading over and over and over. And as I keep doing that, I just keep meditating on that and I keep thinking about his words and thinking about what it looks like to live a life of wisdom. And so if you're struggling right now to figure out where do I start, just open up Proverbs. It's so easy and it's so basic. It's like, okay. People keep asking me today, why are you wearing a Bengals shirt? I thought you were a Chiefs fan. I was like, yeah, I know. I got some Bengal fans up here. So today, uh, I, it's my coaching debut. I am coaching preschool flag football. And oh my goodness, my little guy Jet, he's excited, he's pumped. You'll see him, he's running around in his jersey today. Do you know what it's like to coach preschoolers? You got to go to the very basics. Run that way. This is right. This is left. How many times have I set a play and it's like, that's not right. Guys, that's not right. That's okay. Okay, you don't know right and left. We got to go back to the basics. Go back to the fundamentals. Go back to the simplest things. And that's what we do. When we go to Proverbs, he just breaks it down so simply that even a preschooler playing flag football could figure it out. Even you and me, we can look at it and we can read it and we can begin to figure out and attain wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom. Just ask. James says, ask for wisdom and he's going to give it. What is he? He's a good father who gives his kids good gifts. Just ask. Back to Ephesians. We do not wrestle, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a battle in the unseen realm. But because we don't see it, we're so used to walking in the physical that we are completely blind and completely ignorant of what's going on in the spiritual. He wants to open eyes today. There's eyes that are going to be open today, and you're going to begin to see how the devil has been attacking you. I'm just declaring that over your life right now. You're going to see where the depression's been coming from. You're going to see what the root of the depression has been. There's been rejection. At the root of depression, there was rejection. And I'm just telling you today, he accepts you. He loves you. He died for you. He loves you. He wants you. He desires you. Just begin to walk with him. He's opening up your eyes right now in this moment. And you're seeing how the devil's been coming at you, his schemes and his game plan. And you're walking in new life out of here today. You're not walking the same as you walked in. There's hope here today. There's hope in the room. Because now you see it. You see the game plan. You see that there's an enemy that wants to attack. You are catching the red flag that you haven't been walking in a state of warfare and readiness. You've been walking in laziness and ignorance. Not anymore. Not today. You're not lazy. You're not ignorant. You're aware and you know and you see the schemes of the devil. You won't be blind to them anymore when you leave here. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not the shield of doubt, not the shield of skepticism. No, 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 you're picking up the shield of faith today. It's a choice. You're choosing faith today. Even when you don't see it, even when you see the darts flying at you, even when you see the fire coming at you, you pick up the shield of faith because you know it can quench the darts. The darts don't stand a chance against the shield. We walk by faith, not by sight. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Jude tells us that. Paul tells us that. We see that. Once again, he's a good father. He wants to give you good gifts. If you've never received a prayer language, a heavenly language, if you want to pray in the Spirit, if you're seeing this for the first time and realizing like, oh, I want that, you can have that. Because who is he? He's a good father. He gives his kids good gifts. If you want that today, come forward. We'll pray for you to receive the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he'll fall on you like fire, and you'll begin to pray in new tongues. All this week when I've been struggling, and I've been feeling these attacks coming at me, and I've been feeling darkness trying to creep in at the edges, I knew what he was doing. I felt it. And I was having a hard time just speaking truth. But you know what I could do? I could pray in the Spirit. And the more I prayed in the Spirit, the more truth came to my mind. The more his word bubbled up inside of me because I got out of my soul, I got out of my flesh, and I got into my spirit. We can do that every time. It's too easy to just get into our soul, into our mind, into our emotions and our feelings and our flesh, and we just give in those areas, and we just feed those things. But let me tell you something. If you just begin to pray in the Spirit, you're going to see you're feeding your spirit man and not your soulish spirit, your soulish man. Okay? You begin to feed the Spirit, and you begin to starve the soul. That's what we do. When we feel the attacks of the enemy creeping in, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, He gives you revelation. He gives you scripture. And some of you, you're like, I don't even understand the words coming out of my mouth. I'm rabbling on in some unknown language. And let me tell you something. As you begin to feel the scripture coming up inside of you, that's an interpretation. He's given you an interpretation of what you're praying in this unknown language. And you're beginning to pray, but He's given you a revelation inside your mind, inside your soul, through the Spirit. And the Spirit is speaking, and the Spirit is being strengthened within you. And as the devil keeps trying to come to attack, the scripture keeps bubbling up inside of you as you continue to pray by faith in the Spirit. And you're getting stronger and stronger, and you're withstanding. You're picking back up the shield of faith when the fiery darts are flying at you. Some people get offended when we talk about praying in the Spirit. I just want to say this. The words that have hurt people, that have stung us, the words that have caused the most damage that have been spoken over some of us, they were words that we understood. It was never anybody praying in the Spirit over you. When you pray in the Spirit, that's different. He gives us revelation. He feeds us. He nourishes us. It's a gift. Don't be offended by the gift that He wants to give His people. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It's a spiritual battle. Jesus tells us that. Matthew 12, verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. That's deliverance. When you get delivered and the unclean spirits get cast out, what do? We want to invite the Holy Spirit in. If you don't, what happens? Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this wicked generation. You might get delivered, but if you don't get filled with his Holy Spirit, they're just going to come back and they're going to bring more. They're unclean spirits. That's what they do. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. These are the words of Jesus. Leviticus 11 says this. House mice. I copy and pasted the wrong version. This is funny. I'm going to use this, though. I don't agree with this, actually. House mice may look cute, but they're little monsters. I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to go to my New King James. I don't know if that's like the message or what. But Leviticus 11, the message version being cute. They look cute. No, they don't. We get mice in our house. That's why I'm talking about this. Every fall around this time, we have mouse traps set, and we start getting mice. It drives me crazy because they are disgusting. They're gross. They're not cute. Like, that's a lie. That's a bad translation, if that's the message. Leviticus 11, verse 27. And whatever goes on its paws among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. These also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. The mole, the mouse, and the large lizard after its kind. These are unclean animals. And I've been thinking about this. Sometimes we see Jesus talking about something in the New Testament, and we can go back to the Old Testament and find these connections that the Holy Spirit draws us to. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to this these past couple weeks. Because I was thinking about these unclean spirits that are trying to work their way into our lives to get a foothold within our minds. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy God's people. What do they want to do? They want to steal the harvest. And I was thinking about these unclean mice that get into my house every fall, and I start hearing these traps going off late at night, and I'm like, here we go again. Those dang mice are back. What are they trying to do? They're trying to steal the harvest. They're trying to get in and take what God wants to give you. That's what the unclean spirits want to do. They want to try to get in and steal what God has given you, what he wants to give you, what he wants to bless you with. That's what these devils want to do. And so what do? I leave traps set all year for these little mice. And I don't feel bad for them when they snap. Some of you are like, I'm going to call PETA. I don't care. Call them. All right? What are they going to do? I want them dead. I want them gone. I don't want to come near them. In fact, I use like, I use my dog pooper scooper to pick them up because I don't even want to go near that trap. They are dirty. They're unclean. I want nothing to do with them, and I want them out of my house. I want them away from my kids. I want them away from my family. I want them out of everything that has to do with my life because nobody's going to come in and steal what God is going to bless us with. And that goes for this house. Nobody's going to come in and steal. No unclean spirit is going to come in and steal what I believe God is doing in this house. And so we'll let no unclean spirit in. We'll give no spirit but the Holy Spirit room to work and move and speak in this house. That's it. So these mice, we curse them back to hell. All right? That's what I'm saying. When these mice come in, I'm saying, I curse you. All right? You get out of here, devils. I want nothing to do with you. These rodents, these mice, here in America, it's estimated that they destroy 70 million pounds of rice, wheat, and maize each year by devouring and infesting stored grain. And what do they do also? They dig up and eat the seeds the farmers have planted. We're sowing good seed in this house. We're not leaving any room for mice to come in and steal what we're planting in this house. There's no room for these unclean spirits. Set traps. Set traps in your mind. The more you will read God's word and declare his truth over your life, the easier it will be to catch those spirits when they try to get a foothold in your mind, when they try to speak lies over your life. If you will read God's word, you're going to be renewed and cleansed from the inside out, and you're going to see the enemy coming before he even gets a foot in the door, before he gets a mouse inside the house. If our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're a house. Set traps. Cut them off and kill them. Don't give them a place to live. Don't give them a corner in the house to hide. Do not tolerate their lies. Do not tolerate mice in your house. I could easily just say, hey, you know what? These mice kind of stick to the basement. They don't really come upstairs. I think it's fine. No, it's not fine. I'm not going to tolerate them. I'm going to leave traps set anywhere and everywhere I can in that house, and I'm going to catch them, and I'm going to kill them, and I'm going to cast them out. Set traps with God's word in your mind. Catch them before they even get a chance. When you see the lies coming in, when you see them creeping in, I felt them coming in this week. There were mornings I would wake up and I'd have thoughts of just depression and darkness creeping in. And I said, that's not from the Holy Spirit. That's not from Jesus. No. Like I rebuke that in the name of Jesus because I want to walk in the light and the truth, and I don't want to walk in the darkness. I don't want creepy things creeping around inside. I want them outside. I want them away from me and away from my house, away from my kids, away from my wife. And so I set up traps within my mind, and I read God's word. And every night I just keep reading it, and I just keep seeing the truth, and I see the lies. I detect the lies of the enemy when he's trying to get a foothold in the house. Read God's word this week. You're going to be refreshed. You're going to be renewed. Open up Proverbs every night before you go to bed. Just read one chapter. Just read one chapter, and you're going to begin to walk in wisdom and not the world anymore. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close out here. Numbers 10, verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also on the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. When you go to war. God is telling Moses this to his people. Guess what? You've been adopted in. You've been grafted in to God's people. You're grafted in to Israel. And what did he tell Moses and his people? When you go to war in your land, some of us, we became Christians and we got grafted in and we said, that's great. I can just put it on cruise control. I can coast. I don't have to worry about anything ever again. No. What's it say in God's word? There's still going to be war in your land. You have to defend your land. You have to fight for it. But where are you seated? You're seated in heavenly places. The devil is below your feet, and he has equipped you with armor. He's given you a bow and an arrow. Don't walk away from battle. We run into the battle. Don't stop going to war. We run to the war. We wage good warfare, Paul tells us, because we walk in readiness. When you go to war, not if you go to war, in your land, he's going to give you the land, but you've got to defend it. He will give you territory, but if you give the enemy access, he'll come in and take it. Don't stop going to war. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Go to war. We don't fight in the flesh. It's a battle in the mind. When those thoughts try to creep in, understand that there is an enemy that is whispering lies to you, and you just begin to speak and declare God's truth back to the enemy. The word is a weapon. Somewhere along the way, we made it a textbook. No. It's a playbook for warfare. His word is a weapon against the lies of the enemy. His word, it gives us power. It gives us strength. It gives us vision to see the enemy's attacks, to tear down strongholds. There's strongholds that have been built up. There's lies that have been built up that I just believe right now that Jesus wants to tear down, right? He wants to tear down right here in this room. He wants to set you free today. If you want to get free, come forward today. Come forward today. Don't miss a chance to come forward and just declare who Jesus is with your mouth and begin to speak his words over your life and to walk out of here in freedom today. Go to war today. Don't sit at home anymore. Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Would you just stand up? I just want to pray this over our house as we get ready to worship. Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus right now. We ask that you would teach us your decrees. That we would be a people that hides your word in our hearts, that we would not sin against you. With our lips, that we would recount all the laws that come from your mouth. that we would rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches, that we would meditate on your precepts and consider your ways, that we would delight in your decrees. Today, Jesus, we just give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Wreck some strongholds. Tear them down. Jesus, I just pray that we would get into the Word this week. I just pray for fresh revelation for each and every one of us in here, that we would begin to see things where the enemy's had a foothold. We'd be able to see the schemes the enemy's been using against us, that we would be able to start to build up traps within our mind that are containing your truth so that no lie can get past them anymore. That we would remember that our identity is set in you. That we're sons, that we're daughters of the King.